honestly, 9 a.m. ain't never felt this early. I was like, 9 a.m.? Oh, yeah, for sure. Bet. Man, this was early 9.
I got a long day. I got up at 6 and went hiking. Well, I left about 7, I guess. Got up, had coffee set on the patio, and then I left right around 7. Got my 4 miles in and came back to it, man.
Nice. You ran 4 miles this morning?
Hiked.
Oh, okay.
Hiked 4 miles. Yeah, I don't want to mislead anybody. Yeah, yes.
Man, let's keep it I feel you though. I've been up since 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I got to start waking up on that. You boys back in the stock market.
Oh shit, you back doing that?
Yeah.
When did you pick it up? When did you do it? Did you start picking it up during COVID? Because that's
no, I started picking it up in college. I first started trading when I was like 22 ish, but it wasn't with really like any real money. It was just like watching the trends, watching the shows and stuff, and putting like a little in. And then I got into like a cloud security and just forgot about it. Like it literally said my last login was like 2014, and it went up so much that when I checked it, I was just like, oh nah, I gotta get back into this. So
I need help on like how to do that, because I know Brendan was doing, he has an app and he's in like a text thread and everybody like talks about what they're about to buy, what they're about to trade, all that type of stuff. But I'm like, well, how do y'all, like, I have the slightest idea of how to even start something like stocks. Like that's why I got somebody else to do it for me. But like I want to get into like penny spot stocks and just have money all over, but man, I have no idea where to start.
Watch a show. It's called, I think it's called Mad Money. It's with this dude named Kramer, and he just like, his whole thing is like, it's a fun way to explain it. So he's like literally like yelling, like, you gotta buy into this, blah, 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 blah. He'll like break a cup and shit. Like it's like really like, it's like almost like a comedic approach to it. But I used to watch that like literally every single day, and so I had to jump back into it, especially with all this AI stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, all right, this is that. If I was like active in the last 10 years with that portfolio, it could have been more, but I was just lucky and it went up. So I'm like, man, okay, I understand it now.
Wow. I understand it now. Hey, so have you been seeing the videos about how AI and ChatGPT and companies that are like housing these big facilities to run AI, like I think Facebook has one somewhere in Illinois, and they're all over the country, but these big facilities are like ruining the environment. And I didn't know this either. Like, so I guess it takes so much to like power them, and like there have been water droughts, and also like it's leaving sediments and the water, like people can't use the water from their houses if they're too close to the facilities because it's running the water. Like I had no idea that it was doing all of this. It's like every time something amazing comes out, their repercussion is like 10 times worse.
This
is
just based from the ChatGPT facilities?
From the facilities. I don't know if it's like the water it takes to cool down the machines, or I have no idea. I got to do more research into it. But what's this say? AI development and deployment have significant environmental consequences, primarily due to the energy intensive nature of training and running AI models, along with the associated hardware manufacturing and data center infrastructure. These impacts include increased electricity demand, water consumption for cooling, and greenhouse gas emissions.
That's pretty crazy.
All the signs are here that we shouldn't be using it. All the signs are here. We got Terminator.
For real.
All the Terminators. And now it's ruining the environment. People were using it for resumes. And now the companies are using it to sift through the resumes. Like it feels like it's causing way more harm than good. Like AI is the new devil.
The irony of the like making the AI is killing nature at the same time is actually pretty, like, it's like we're in a simulation. Like it's like literally seeping out and destroying Mother Earth and nature. This is like the repercussions of getting AI. I thought that AI was like, all right, it's digital, so at least it's not going to have a carbon footprint. That's a little too ironic for me.
Man, it's crazy. It is crazy. But hey, here we go. Well, what's up, guys? I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet. You scary. First up, shout out to the Scary Squad, man. Appreciate y'all pulling up. Shout out to everybody that's watching this on Tuesdays when it drops. Shout out to the sponsors, all the ones we have, all the ones we've had, man. It's a cloudy, overcast day, but it's, you know, still LA, man. We out here rocking, you know, man. How you been, Pat?
I've been good, man. Here's the question. Did you tune in to Streamer University?
Oh, that's one thing. I thought that the university thing was Kai showing them what he does, and then they becoming instructors and them teaching other people, like starting their own courses. Is that not?
It just happened. It was this weekend.
Oh shit! No, I did not tune in at all.
Oh my god! How did you miss it? That was this nigga Kai just changed everything.
Really?
Yes.
Please tell me all about it, because I have no idea what it was.
So essentially what he did was he like rented a college campus or like a portion of it. And he started this thing called Streamer University, and he advertised it like it was Hogwarts. Like he was sending like invitations and stuff with owls. And what he basically did was he brought half like upcoming new streamers that nobody knew. Well, no, it was like a mixture of streamers that nobody knew, some streamers with some motion that are like now starting, and some established streamers. And the established streamers were professors and everybody else was a student and he was the dean. So what was genius about it was the first day was just move-in day and orientation, and no one could stream. The only one who could stream was Kai. So Kai's stream opened up the ceremonies, and then every teacher went up and like said what course they're doing. And then every student one by one had to go to the dean's office and get their phone that they can stream on and their schedule. And as soon as they did that, they could start streaming themselves. So basically every streamer that people were waiting for went through Kai's stream and got a phone and was able to go out onto the campus and start streaming. Once all of them went through, Kai cut his for the weekend and basically just handed off 500,000 fans to all these other streamers. And now you're basically watching a reality TV show where you're going in between different channels. So it's almost like a reality show that's actually live, and you can pick which camera to like follow. So you might be like following one person at a pep rally, and then you click over and see what the teachers are doing down on the field. And then you click over and see what people, you know what I mean? Like it was really like an interactive thing. But it was kind of creepy too, because it was like Black Mirror in the sense it was like the worst form of high school. Like imagine like the popular kids and the unpopular kids. You actually had stats. So everybody, it was like a high school experience, except everybody had a cameraman and everybody was looking at their phone to see how many people were watching them. So the popular kids were like actually statistically had more people watching them than other people. And it was just like a whole weekend of that. And it was crazy. I was locked in like the first day. I couldn't do all 3 days, but they're just so good at clipping that you can kind of follow. And it had like the romantic aspect, because India Love was there and Duke Dennis and DDG were like fighting over her. And then there was like the young niggas that were like partying and stuff like that and sneaking off and getting expelled and stuff like that. So it was really like a bunch of like older people who don't watch streamers watch this, because it's literally like the purest form of reality TV.
Wow.
It sounds like new shit.
If HBO was a show and then the different channels are, damn, no, it's actually like a cable provider, and then different channels were the streamers.
But it was weird because they were all in the same place. So it was more like watching like one show, and you can pick, everybody's doing different shit and you can pick who to watch.
Wow.
And then Kai didn't stream at all to not take the attention away from them, but there was a Kai tracker because he was going around and popping into people's streams. So people were literally getting like 400,000, 500,000 followers over the weekend and getting like like everybody's career took off. It was insane. Crazy. It's such a good idea.
Damn. Hey, Kai is constantly changing the game, bro. Salute to that brother, man. That's a really dope idea. He out here doing his thing. He out here doing his thing.
Insanely original.
Well, we got some crazy stories for you guys today, man. One of the top stories that I definitely want to talk about is Final Destination. You know, Final Destination is back. I have not seen it yet. Have you seen it?
I don't know if I want to. This lady saw it in 6D.
So I don't know if you guys have heard the story, but during a May 19th screening of Final Destination, and this is in Bloodlines in LA Planta, Argentina, real life imitated horror when the ceiling of a cinema Ocho of Cinema Ocho, I guess that's the name of it, collapsed mid-movie. One woman celebrating her birthday. With her daughter was injured by the falling debris. Ironically, thinking the crash was just part of the movie, she escaped more serious harm by leaning on the armrest and now plans legal action. With eerie timing and a franchise all about escaping death, this incident has fans asking, was this the most cursed screening ever? Man.
One of the wildest parts of the story is how she escaped more serious harm by leaning on the armrest.
So maybe
juked you. She said, she thought it was part of the movie. She was like, man.
I mean, the marketing for this movie was crazy. The billboards, I saw one billboard where it looks like the guys that were putting up the billboard, like one of them was falling or he got hung, and then they had another figure look like they was pulling him up, trying to pull him up. The marketing for this was crazy. Then it had the trucks on the road driving. It had the logs on it, or fake logs on it. It's been great. They put a lot of budgeting into this marketing.
Well, with that said, would doing something like this be illegal for marketing? Like if you passed this off, because I mean, who's really going to look into this lawsuit? Can you just say this happened and take pictures? Because that would be amazing marketing.
It would be. I mean,
I don't know if it's legal.
I don't know if it's legal either. But I mean, it's a hell of a way. Because I mean, they could have literally just rented a studio and put some chairs in there, made it look like a theater, and then passed this off. But it's been world news. So I don't know. I mean, for them, I love it. I read something where the guys who directed this one and directed this one when they were pitching it to the studio, they faked a fire. So they were doing a Zoom, and it was a fireplace behind them, and they act like the fireplace caught on fire, and the fire caught up to the mantle, and they were able to put it out. And then after that happened, I feel like the ceiling fan or the ceiling collapsed on it, and they planned this all for the Zoom while they were pitching it idea to the studio. So maybe that was part of it.
So they are on that type of time.
It seems like marketing geniuses, man. I mean, it built a lot of buzz around it. I want to go see it now.
In the theater, I though? I might have to wait for it on Hulu.
I mean, it should be on Prime in like a week. Honestly, it should be.
Damn. You know what's crazy? I don't know if I've even seen all the Final Destinations, but I feel like there was that one. You know, there was that one that everybody saw, everybody references. I don't even know what number it is.
One and the second one. Everybody saw the first one and the second one.
The log truck was in the first one?
First one, the log truck, I think, was on the second one.
Okay, then that must
be. That was the one on the highway because it had T.C. Carson in it, and there was a cow from Live It Single. He was the one that was on the motorcycle. So I remember that one.
Yeah, that I mean, I should probably. Did they get better, or is it all kind of just the same thing?
I don't remember anything past the second one, I'll be honest with you.
Same.
I just remember Candyman was in it for a couple of them. Yeah, he was like the guy that worked at the mortuary.
You mean the actor that played Candyman, or like a crossover?
Yeah. No, the actor that played Candyman. Yeah.
I was like, damn, Candyman and Death After You is insane. What is this one? Is this six?
I don't know what number it is, but maybe let me see. Oh, I don't know if it's a rebranding. Let's see. Fire Bloodline. See, it doesn't say it on that. Yeah. So that's still crazy though. That's crazy. That's not,
you know, it's I thought she died. I didn't know it was just like minor injuries. So maybe.
I just remember reading that the theater had collapsed, and I didn't remember seeing her die. So I was just like, "That's crazy."
She on her birthday with her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't remember seeing any pictures of it too. So all of that kind of leans toward it might be a marketing ploy, but I don't know. I don't know. Tony Todd, that's his name. Last Lines and Final Destination. Okay, cool. So he was in there. I had thought, I don't know why I thought he died recently, but maybe I'm tripping.
That quote sounds like he died.
Life is precious. Enjoy it. Right. You never know. Wait. Oh.
Oh, he did die.
Oh. He did die. Okay. 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 Cool. Cool. I was like, I thought he had died for sure.
That's definitely a quote you pull for remembrance.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump into this next topic. Let's go with the next story. What we got on that next story? Boom. Oh, shit. Took it off. Okay. Meet the Jim twins, a pair of identical twins separated and adopted by different families at birth. Both were named James, married and divorced woman named Linda, remarried women named Betty, and each had a dog named Toy. They both named their sons James Allen, and they reunited at age 39. That is
crazy. That got weirder and weirder as it went. I mean, them both being named James is already kind of crazy, but that's wait, insane. So they married two women in a row that had the same name.
Yes, and their dogs had the same name, and they named their son the same thing.
Toy isn't even, I've never even heard of anyone naming a dog Toy.
That's
kind of that's kind of gross. I'm so glad I wasn't a twin. I don't like that kind of stuff. Like that's the super connected twins that can think the same stuff. And bro, I don't know. That kind of creeps me out.
I heard this weird story, and I think I was watching this video on Instagram, but it was about these two sisters. I don't think they were twins. I think they were just really close sisters. And they didn't talk to anyone outside of themselves. Like they would stay in their room and draw pictures. And I think they started creating their own language so they understand each other. And then at one point, they seemed so codependent on each other and didn't really want to do much outside of like just be around each other. And then at one point when I got older, they were like, such and such has to die. One of the sisters has to die for the other one to start enjoying her life. And got to a point where they were put into a institution. And in the institution, they were saying the same thing. And then one day the sister that was going to die was like, I'm going to die today. Or such and such is going to live and I'm going to die. And when that sister died, the other sister went on to have a productive life. Like, it was the craziest thing. Never seen anything like that.
It's almost like she absorbed her or something.
Yeah, she's living for the both of them.
Nah, that's...
Oh, there it is right there. The silent twins, June and Jennifer Gibbons, are a famous case of identical twins. So they were twins who, after being bullied and misunderstood, developed their own private language and communicated with each other. Yeah, it's been a subject of multiple books and films and documentaries. And they said when one died, the other one finally spoke to others.
And that just wasn't weird no more. That creeps me out even more because that just kind of confirms my theory. It's like I would feel like a clone, like one of us is a clone.
It's so crazy because it's like, okay, were they just dedicated to each other, and once one of them left, then they could, you know, embrace the world. Did one of them have control over the other one and telling her not to talk? It's so many crazy theories, and like my mind is just running wild when I hear something like this. Like, nigga, what?
I wonder why they said to live a relatively normal life.
Well, she was closeted for years. She was an adult by the time she started like speaking to other adults. So I'm sure she has some type of, you know, like social skills. It's social hurdles. It's kind of like being homeschooled your whole life and then you just thrown out into the public and have to interact with millions of people. That's
sudden heart inflammation. That's also just scary for another reason.
For no reason at all. No reason at all, just, man.
Is that's not a heart attack though, right?
I've
never even heard of that. Like just sudden inflammation. Because heart attack is just stopping.
Yeah. Man, listen, don't get me the line. I ain't no doctor.
That's scary as heck. Yeah, I don't. That's one of them unexplainable things that just makes me. I'm glad I was born after my siblings.
Man, listen. I tell you what isn't scary though. Well, it kind of is, man. It's thinking about what you're going to eat today. I get so tired of doing that, man. Like, especially like now that I'm on this diet and not diet, but just a healthy kick and eating differently, just trying to come up with different meals. It's exhausting. So shout out to the homies over at Green Chef, man. Because as we step into spring, it's the perfect time to refresh your meal routine with dietitian approved recipes for Green Chef, perfect for supporting your wellness journey. And you know, when they got me with that, because I'm all about that right now. So, and you get to enjoy recipes that feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins crafted to help you feel your best. Now, Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen, more time in the spring air with their new hot and eat meals. You can enjoy a delicious wholesome meal in just 3 minutes. You can't beat that. You cannot beat a meal in 3 minutes. Plus, with 80 plus weekly option, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle, whether you're into Mediterranean flavors, gluten-free eats, plant-based meals, or protein-packed dishes. There's something for everyone, including options for gut and brain health, calorie smart choices, and more. Now, I'm a big salad guy, and they got the salads too. Whether it's a salad ready in just 5 minutes, a protein-packed breakfast, or a smoothie to fuel your day, Green Chef has you covered for the busiest of days. Their meals are made with real, clean ingredients so you can build lasting, healthy habits without the hassle. Plus, you get week-to-week flexibility so you can adjust your plan anytime to fit your schedule. And that's big for people that are traveling, people that might have kids and getting home late, people that stay at the office late, whatever it is, they got you covered. So make this spring your most delicious yet with Green Chef. Head over to greenchef.com/50DIYS. That's 50DIYS to get 50% off your first month. Then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. Now again, that code is 50DIYS at greenchef.com/50DIYS. I was up in there chefing. I made that. I made some green curry when they came with my man. You talking about crazy?
Chefing it up,
man, with the bell peppers and the shrimp and the curry and the heavy cream, brother. I had never did curry before, but I feel like I outdid myself. So you know, shout out to Green Chef because they got me up in here chefing it up. You feel me?
I had a nice little cooking phase last year, and then I stopped, but I gotta get back on it. I want to learn how to roll sushi.
Do you?
Yeah.
I know they got classes for that.
Seems really fun.
Yeah, I know they got classes for it because I'm sure you could like look on like what is it? What's the thing? Groupon, and probably find a sushi rolling class. It's gotta be. It's gotta be at this point.
In LA, I'm sure.
So, next story is about budget airlines are reportedly launching standing only seats by 2026.
I couldn't wait for this. Don't it sound like a joke?
it definitely does, bro. Skyrider 2.0 is a new seat design for budget airlines that lets passengers lean instead of sit, resembling bike saddles. Resembling bike saddles. Now, the seats reportedly reduce leg room to fit up to 20% more passengers and help cut costs. According to the Daily Mail, the seats have passed safety tests but are only meant for short flights, around 2 hours or less. Airlines are reportedly considering this option to reduce costs and offer cheaper fares. Here's the thing. I don't believe you. Considering this option to reduce costs and offer cheaper fares. I believe that they are doing this to raise profits, right?
Yeah.
Increase revenue. It's like don't lie. Don't lie to me. Y'all gonna have us crammed in there like sardines for real. And 2 hours is the max that you gonna get me standing anywhere. Anywhere. I remember I was at an Anderson .Paak concert. It's my second time seeing him, and we're at the House of Blues, and we're in there. We had got there, the DJ still playing, the show hasn't started yet. Well, I was standing for 15-20 minutes at the time, and I was like, let's just buy a table. I'm not finna I'm not finna general population this whole concept. Nah, I'm not doing that, man. Let me go ahead and get this table, bro. I ain't gonna be able to do it.
No. That's insane. I feel like I thought that the airlines had bigger things to worry about than this, like the planes themselves. But
bro.
Here's the audacity. Here's where the audacity is. Coach on a plane is already the worst you should have to endure. You know what I mean? Like in terms of like how small they made that experience anyways, and how like, at least they're not bullshitting you with this. They're like, yeah, you're standing up. The other one is like, the seats are way too small for like the average person. You cramped, you up against other people. The fact that they kind of like load you in, it takes forever to get in, forever to get out. The service is bad. Like that should be you budgeting travel. You know, I ain't budget travel, but to like scoop out the back five rows and put 20 rows of standing things, it's just like, all right, y'all, like what's that's, left?
And that's it what sounds I'm thinking, like, where are they going to put it at? Because the back of the plane, I mean, they definitely could put it in the back of the plane, but it would seem like it would make actually more sense to have it by the emergency exits, because
that extra got more room.
Yeah, you got more extra room right there, and you could, versus having like two rows of seats right there, you could potentially have three rows of people if they're standing. Potentially.
To
four rows.
I would assume that those are closer to each other because you're standing up, so they can put more. They're just trying to get like more bang for their buck. Yeah. And the only thing after this that they can do is the little rings that be on the subway. Yeah. You buy a ring and you just hold your luggage.
You know, look, normally like the seats are like three apart. I mean, three across. What if they have them like kind of like staggered and angled, so like you're actually, instead of like standing like this, you're standing like this, and so you could fit actually four people across versus three seats, because now it's angled and there's no leg room needed.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So like it's like normally like this now, and if it's like this, then this is a room for two people. But if you stagger it like this, you can get another person right there. So you might be able to get four. So they're getting four across, and now they can do three instead of two. Bro, they finna get all this money, bro.
Well, I mean, if it's only for 2-hour flights, they're probably gonna have planes that are just for that are just all standing.
It look like, you have been to one of the restaurants and they bring the lamb chops out on like a clothesline. They got a clip to the thing.
Right. That's insane. So what if there was a plane that was all standing seats, what would be the first class version of that?
You get to lean.
You get to lean
on it. Yeah. And you got the chest harness, so you get to lean and you won't fall. If you fall asleep, you won't slide.
And they let you go to the bathroom.
Bro, that's insane. I can't believe this is life. I can't believe this is real life.
It's like that. I hope we're not anywhere near. Can we see that picture again? Because it looked like it for sure looked like a subway.
Man, nah, that's insane.
That's there's got to be a little bit of humanity in it. I feel like you're just putting people up. You're setting people up just to like have a terrible time. And honestly, let's be real. They're going to be humiliated. You know, that first year, people are going to be taking pictures and videos. It's going to be terrible on social media.
Man, that's insane. We got another flight story, which is also crazy too. The Helios flight 522. I'm gonna jump into that one. So in 2005, a routine flight from Cyprus to Athens turned into one of the strangest and most chilling aviation disasters in history. Helios Airways flight 522 lost contact shortly after takeoff, but the plane kept flying for over 2 hours. It soared on autopilot, unresponsive, with radio silence and frozen passengers. Fighter jets scrambled and saw something haunting. A flight attendant, conscious and trying to save the plane moments before it crashed, killing all 121 people on board. So what really happened inside the ghost plane, and how did a simple air pressure error lead to such a tragic chain of events. We break down the timeline, the terrifying in-flight conditions, and why this disaster still haunts aviation history.
This Wait, so it took off and everyone died, or
So when the fighter jets came, because you know, thinking this it could be a hostage situation, this is a terrorist attack, whatever, they scrambled, and I guess through the window they saw the flight attendant trying to like get the plane and fly the plane from whatever is happening. But
and they said she was conscious, which I'm assuming meant that everybody else looked like they was out.
Yeah. So this is an air pressure thing. I don't know if like they out because that maybe so high, maybe the mast didn't fall down or the mast wasn't working or what. But that's a crazy story.
That's a problem I didn't even think to be scared of on a plane. Jesus. Yeah,
I think I'm gonna be steel. I think my tour dates might get pushed back a little bit, or I'm just drive across the nation, because the plane right now is just, it's not as attractive as it used to be.
I have a flight in 2 days. I'm really upset because I mean, I mean, maybe I'm being paranoid, but it feels like everybody is nervous on takeoff and nervous on landing, because they think like, what if we don't, right?
Yeah.
What if we, that's kind of like as far as my fears went, like the plane crashing, but just everybody dying because of an air pressure issue is not only terrifying, it seems very possible, especially with all these damn whistleblowers saying how faulty these planes are.
Okay. So Hippie said that the air pressure loss caused okay, so Investigation Aviation Safety Board concluded that the crew had failed to notice that the cabin pressurized system was too manual during takeoff checks. The ground engineer had allegedly set it to manual to conduct testing before the flight, but had forgotten to restore it to auto afterwards. This configuration subsequently missed by the crew during their pre-flight checks. So, this caused the plane to gradually depressurize as it climbed and resulted in everyone on board suffering from critical hypoxia and resulting in a ghost flight. So everybody's knocked out.
What is hypoxia? They're like they've suffocated?
I'm going to let you look that one up again.
The absence of enough oxygen in the tissues to sustain bodily functions. So I wonder if that's...
Is that just death, or is it just like... passed out, like a comatose state. That's crazy. Can you imagine everybody in they had died in the air before the plane even crashed?
That's even, I mean, honestly, I would at least want to enjoy the crash on the way down. To just completely go out is crazy.
So hypoxia causes symptoms like confusion, restlessness, difficulty breathing, rapid heart rate, bluish skin, many chronic heart and lung conditions can put you at risk for hypoxia.
So they must have all just passed out. Which is terrifying for that flight attendant. Yeah. Her last maybe 20 minutes must have been just nothing but fear.
And it's 2005, so like Wi-Fi ain't on planes, so they can't even text people like, yo, something's going wrong with the plane, something like that. No one even has access to know what's going on.
That is
life before Wi-Fi and the internet, it really just seems like the Stone Age time. Like people was really at home waiting by the mailbox.
Right. That's crazy. And they didn't even have like fast mailmen. Like they didn't even really have like Amazon like that. So it was like you was waiting like a week plus.
God, man, that's so crazy.
Damn.
So I just saw this video about you know, the like the four numbers after your zip code. So the zip code tells people, like it broke down the numbers of a zip code, because I had never like really thought about it. Like I've been finding, like I've been having like some crazy videos pop up, but this was one of them, and it basically said if you put those four numbers on your envelope, it just helps them get there faster when it's sorting, because that like narrows it down to the neighborhood. When you just put the zip code, it puts like the area. When you put those four numbers, it narrows it down to like the specific neighborhood, specific street.
Interesting.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's so much stuff I've been learning. Like the crosswalks is different crosswalks. So when it's the ladder, so it's just like the rectangle is like boom, 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 line like that. That means the driver is supposed to wait until the pedestrian clears the entire intersection, right? If it's just the bars, like it's two thick strips that go from one side to the other side, then the driver just has to wait until the person clears their lane of traffic and then they can go.
That mean shit.
Bro, it's
I didn't know
it's
that
so
meant
much.
shit. But it makes
It's
sense
so
when you think about like the broken yellow lines and the solid yellow lines, like all that means
Yeah,
something too.
the rules of the road, man. Like even with like what boulevard, street, avenue, circle, court, all of those things being different things, they all relate to a certain like layout of the land and the landscape. So yeah, man,
I
it's
recently, I don't know what I was. I might have been on this show when we talked about that, the difference between all of them. But I recently went, I think like the Boulevard has the medium in the middle, and it's the biggest one.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Definitely. Drove has something. Okay, yeah. That checks out. That checks. That tracks, if you will. Let's go to the story. Hold on, wait. Okay, let's watch the zip code video.
Those are five numbers, but then there's those extra four numbers that no one ever adds. Well, if you add them, it gets the package to its destination faster. When you mail something, the address is where to go, but the zip code is how to get there. So the zip code is not the destination, but the journey. Also, did you know most countries call it postal code? The US is the only one who says zip code. Here's how it works. The first digit of the zip code divides America into 10 zones. The second divides it further, and the third digit points your mail to a regional sorting facility. And once it gets there, the fourth and fifth digit points it to the local post office. But then the final plus four code tells USPS which delivery route or truck to put your mail on. So when you include it, you're helping the system sort your mail, and that puts it on a priority track. It should make a little bit of a difference. So if you know your plus four code, I would include it if you can.
What the hell?
The more you
Jesus
know, bro.
Christ. I didn't even know how postal, like how messages were even sorted, period. That little animation of everything just kind of made me stressed
Yeah,
me out.
man. I'm a visual learner, so it helped me tremendously, but it's still like, damn, that's crazy. Like somebody really be like somebody sat down and came up with this. It still blows my mind when it comes to mails, when it comes to keys, when it comes to jet engines. Like you be looking out the plane, like these two engines is keeping this big ass thing in the air.
I still don't get it.
It's black magic.
That's the
It's black
next
magic.
that's the next rabbit holes. Like how do jet engines work? Because I mean, at least you said you was a visual learner. Like at least the propeller looks like it's doing something. You know, like when a plane takes off and it has a propeller, it's like, okay, that shit got really, really fast and then it took off. That makes sense to me, but the shit that's just sitting there sucking in ducks, that shit makes no sense.
And it's insane, bro. It is insane.
She was awake the whole 2 hours watching everyone pass out. Damn, she was in the air for two. It was flying for 2 hours before it crashed.
Yeah, for over 2 hours, sort of autopilot, unresponsive,
Jesus.
a radio silence. So I wonder if she was awake watching people pass out. Like, how much was she freaking out, and why? Well, I'm sure she tried to contact the people, but like, why wasn't the radio working? I understand people passing out. If she was awake watching people pass out the whole time, why wasn't the radio working?
Why were
Why wasn't,
communications off?
yeah, that part is trippy.
And why did it crash if it was on autopilot?
Maybe she tried to land it because the fuel was low, or she just, I mean, shit, at some point you're gonna make it to your destination on autopilot or not, so you're still gonna have to try to figure out how to get it out of the air.
How to land it? Damn, she couldn't have like jumped into one of the fighter jets. They gotta have some system of that, right? I mean,
Hold on, bro.
if
Hold
another
on.
plane can pull up and give it gas, have you ever seen that?
Yeah, but
Why can't they?
those planes are specifically made for that. Like this is a commercial airliner, so it doesn't have like that back tailgate that lets down. And she opens up the door to like try to jump out. First of all, she has no way to control her jump. Second of all,
ain't no parachutes.
No, not on commercial flights. Absolutely not. All you get is that life reserver, bro. That's under your seat. That is all you get.
I bet there's a couple parachutes.
I ain't never heard of no parachutes being on these.
You wouldn't, you, if you was a pilot or on the staff, you wouldn't sneak a little parachute on there.
How? Remember? Do you remember?
Luggage?
What was it? No. What was the movie? Castaway with Tom Hanks. It was just. Typically just three or four people on that flight. That's just like for UPS and shit like that. And they don't have parachutes. They had a raft. And no parachutes.
Why ain't niggas got parachutes? They in the air all the time. I feel like that was a no-brainer. It could have been. And what you mean not all planes have the little lowery thingy?
Well, like
they don't got that?
No, that's like it's like a military or a cargo plane that has that thing that drops like that. So that's for loading and unloading things. You loading and unloading passengers, them niggas go through a door. They're not big enough to need that.
What about like the giant thing that opens and they're throwing all the luggage in?
Well, first of all, that's underneath the plane. It's not accessible. Right. Yeah, well, how are they supposed to get there?
Nigga, where would you jump from? I would jump from the lowest part of the plane. I'm just saying, I feel like jumping off the plane at some point got to be an option.
That door is super small too. So like that, when that ramp goes up to there, I've saw it. There's a video that shows how luggage is stacked inside of a plane. And I think sometimes a person's in there like stacking it. So like it's coming up the ramp. You got one person that's throwing it on the ramp. You got another person inside that's like loading the luggage like Tetris. Because I always wondered that too. Like, how do they get it in and out? So I saw this video. I was like, oh, okay. But it's so small. Like, you wouldn't be able to effectively, I don't think, jump out of that spot. You'd be better off jumping out of the door and just fully decompressurizing the cabin. Because that entryway is small. So you don't want to try to do it out of that one, my boy.
Yeah. So there's a whole article, why commercial planes don't have parachutes.
Oh,
and word. I guess it's because people don't know how to skydive. You couldn't get out fast enough. I guess they couldn't get everybody strapped up and jumping out.
Mm-hmm.
Survival's unlikely because they cruise around 35,000 feet and skydivers jump at no higher than 15,000. Oh, well, there you go.
Damn. That's a
way
big thing
too high.
Right there. Yeah, you got to know. This might be the video of them loading it. So this is where the luggage is. This is what you're talking about. You see, he can't even stand up. He's on his knees.
What?
Yes. That's what the bottom of the plane looks like.
I thought it was kind of like, you know how like when you take a ferry somewhere, the whole luggage place is just that giant bottom part. I thought it was way bigger than this.
Maybe on those really big planes, like 747s and shit like that, maybe bigger. But typically, this is how they do your luggage.
Damn. Mm-hmm. I'm learning a whole bunch of random stuff today.
Bro,
I thought people holes, were walking man. Around down there.
Well, some movies have led us to believe that. Like Con Air, when he had went down below and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like they had that, they led us to believe that. But no, most planes don't look like that.
Yeah, there wasn't even a way to like climb up to the main part with a ladder. I for sure thought it was like that from like spy movies.
Mm-mm. Oh man. No. Oh man. All right, we got a couple more we might have time for real quick. Let's go to that one we skipped before this Helios flight. Oh yeah, this is the museum run right here. So the Uncensored Library, excuse me, I said museum, is a large Minecraft map that allows people to access censored news from countries with restricted press freedom. Ooh. Created by the organization Reporters Without Borders and Minecraft Design Collective Blockworks. The library was first introduced in 2020 to provide silenced authors a platform in their own respective countries. While social media and other platforms tend to be either blocked or controlled in these countries, Minecraft often remains accessible, giving Reporters Without Borders a way to circumvent the censorship and make information accessible. The library itself is accessed through a Minecraft server, but it can also be downloaded locally. It consists of around 300 books distributed between 12 wings, most of them represented by a country where information may be limited. From here, visitors can explore the library and read banned articles in the form of Minecraft books.
What the hell?
Bro, it's so crazy.
It's funny how kiddy of a game Minecraft is. Mm-hmm. So if you really wanted to access this dark web information, you have to be this cute little block character walking around a library.
Detective Block.
Damn. Man, I mean, that's smart.
Do you hear about the owner of Roblox?
Did I hear about him?
Yeah. Do you know about the story of him? So he was this guy who created Roblox. He, you know, did it himself and built the team. And then, you know, it got popular, it caught on. And then he ended up selling that shit for something. It was still like, I don't know, 2.3 or 3.4 billion or something like that. Damn. And he was never happy again. Like, Roblox gave him something to do, something to live for. But when he got all that money, he just didn't know what to do. And he tried to do other little small ventures, and he tried to invest in like some tech companies and shit like that. But overall, he just was not happy.
This is the creator of Minecraft you're talking about.
Oh, is it Minecraft or Roblox?
Yeah, I read about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was sad. It's like that those lottery stories that you be hearing about people who win the lottery and then just either blow through the money or get scammed or whatever, get too many houses. It's a trip, bro.
I mean, you gotta probably imagine like how big of a lifestyle change that is. Like he was a game designer. Like he was really doing it for the love of it, and it just got it got too crazy, and now all of a sudden you hanging out with NBA players. Like I could see that being too much of a, because I mean I read that, like he said that he wanted to like work on another game, and it got to be too much. He's like, I didn't even want to do all of this. I don't want to like run a giant company. I want to make another game.
That's crazy. Like the money that we chase so adamantly fulfilled everything he ever wanted, but then when it was all accessible, he like had no ambition. He had nothing else to do. Like he had no purpose. That's crazy. Tough. Yeah.
I think that's kind of like when rich people start going on interviews and saying money doesn't buy happiness. Cause like it just feels like that scene in a movie where the person's just walking around a mansion and they're just like looking around like, I'm sick of this stuff. Obviously, it's better than like than being broke, but it's just like you just kind of like wandering around and it's like, yeah, this stuff is nice, but I've had it for 5 years.
Got nothing to do for, man. Hippie, is that it's not a video about that thing, is it? What we were just talking about? Okay, I was trying to see the next one. I actually wanted to do the dog one about the service dog. I thought this was pretty cool too. Service dogs undergo a test in which they need to watch an entire musical to pass that program. First of all, jeez. I would fail. I'm asleep the first 10 minutes.
Torture.
Sleep, you understand me? Some service dog training programs expose dogs to live theater performances, including musicals, to help them acclimate to various public environments. These experiences are designed to expose the dogs to stimuli such as lights, movement, loud noises, and crowds, helping them learn to remain calm and focused in such settings. The dogs are trained to lie down under the seat or curl up at their handler's feet, ensuring they remain safely out of the way of other attendees while staying relaxed and quiet throughout the performance. These types of real-world exposures are part of a border training regimen aimed at preparing service dogs to assist the handlers effectively in a wide range of public scenarios.
That makes sense. So, I mean, it's like the final test is the worst version of a public theater performance. So it's like if the dog can get past that, then like movie theaters and stand-up, that should all be a breeze. But if they can survive the people coming in the crowd and like, we're with you now, you know, then they'll be good.
We need to take them to a New York Street performance and have them sit out there at that big crowd and niggas jumping and flipping all over the place. Mm-hmm. Have the dog lie down, flip over the dog and shit.
Lion King, where they got the stilts and stuff all creepy.
Oh, that'd be crazy. The people dress like animals to make sure that they don't creep out. But yeah, that would be crazy there. I would love to see that.
Poor dogs. Yeah. I always wanted a service dog just to have a dog in random places. Like, I don't think I would need it for like anxiety reasons, but I think having a dog on a plane would make the plane ride better.
If unless your dog is too cute that everybody wants to pet it, and you know, you got to get one of those things that say service animal, do not touch.
Oh yeah, I would definitely have that. I'll probably fake some condition, but I just know the people who have it really cool is like, have you seen like people will have like a service alligator or like an exotic animal, but they got to have it around because they said it was a service animal?
Only thing I remember, that the most exotic one I remember was like the peacock. Somebody had took a peacock.
Service peacock? On the
bro, I remember that vaguely. And it was like an Instagram post I saw floating around. It was like somebody brought a peacock, a service peacock, on this damn thing, on this plane.
I don't see why a peacock would calm anybody down, though. That seems like a... Oh, wow. There's service pigs. There's service ducks, service hedgehogs. Someone had a service kangaroo. Service monkey, of course. Service snake is insane.
Service donkey. Where are you walking around with a donkey at? where is that helpful? Where is that productive at? Like,
at least they can walk. So somebody had a service turtle.
Oh my god.
At that point, they just want to bring the animal.
At some point, like, we gotta say, all right, let's cut the shit. Okay, I don't care about the letter that you got certified. Get the fucking turtle off of the
You plane. Do look like a little Pokemon trainer. Like, this person has a service squirrel. What would be a service animal that you would choose if you could choose anything and say like, "Oh, this thing calms me down."
Shit. Man. Maybe a service rat? Because nobody would want to touch it and nobody would want to sit next to
it. You wouldn't want to touch it.
Hey, probably not. I don't have gloves on. But if I'm on a Southwest flight and I know people are going to be sitting next to me, I'm going to have the rat sitting on my lap. Nobody's going to want to sit next to me with that rat. And it's got that long tail. I'm good. Yeah. I got this world to myself. What about you?
But then the rest of the day, you have a rat with you.
I'm going to let him go when I get to my destination.
I'm doing service Kit Fox. I don't know if Hippie can pull one of those up, but a Kit Fox. Having a Kit Fox with you 24 hours a day, you would never have a dull moment.
I feel like this is going to be some cute ass animal that is very pat, but that's very you.
That's adorable.
That's very you.
And when they're babies, their ears are gigantic. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, you set me up on this one. You already had the Kit Fox loaded. When you asked me, I'm scrambling. I'm a rat. And you was like,
This is my answer for most animal questions. This is yours, Hippie?
Oh, this is that fat, fluffy rabbit?
Yeah, I don't know. Why does it look like it got a beard?
He looks like a hippie. That rabbit looks like that rabbit looks like Rick Fox. Not Rick Fox, but what's the guy that the white guy that was Russell Simmons' business partner.
Oh,
he don't play any instruments.
I know Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. Yeah, that rabbit looked like a current picture of Rick Rubin.
That rabbit, dude, it looked hungover. Like it just woke up.
Oh man, well listen, that was today's roundup, man. Another amazing show, man. We appreciate y'all again. Shout out to the Scary Squad, man. We appreciate y'all. We haven't done a live event as far as like going to a city in a while, so it might be time to like to do something like that, plan that, and maybe go on the road with that. So shout out to y'all. Also shout out to the More Mob that's in here. Cloudy Village, if y'all in here, we appreciate y'all. And if y'all happen to be watching this on a Thursday, we appreciate y'all still watching and supporting, man. Downloading and listening to it on the audio streaming platforms. We definitely appreciate you as well. As always, guys, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share the video. I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you on the next episode of Damn Internet, You Scary.
Peace, yes, guys. Sir.